Alex's Finger Pointer on AboveTopSecret.com. This is a reply to the replies about the sprawling Murdoch mega media empire. Thanks, Springer, for replying. It's good to hear that some of the big kahunas of ATS are interested in the Antipodes. And you made a really good point in your post about how Australia kind of sounds like a US of 20 to 30 years ago. And I actually lived in the States for about a year around the time of Gulf War I, actually. And I'd have to say you're kind of pretty spot on there, mate, with that observation. Anyway, moving on. Basically, what this MX paper is, if you don't live in Melbourne or Australia, yada-da, it's kind of, it's only really available at train stations and kind of places near train stations in the city, so mainly people going to and from work read it, I think, what's released in the afternoon. The kind of US papers I'd compare it with would be something like USA Today, maybe, you know, TV Guide, or, you know, the standard, not too wacky tabloids, but your standard tabloid fare. The other thing I wanted to say was about whether Rupi Murdoch has a monopoly or not. No. Well, I know in Melbourne anyway, the other major newspaper, which is the broadsheet paper of Melbourne, is The Age, which is owned by Fairfax, which has had various takeover attempts on it. However, there are still media ownership laws that are barely hanging on by a thread, which are kind of preventing some holus bolus takeover. This brings me into the question of, we've just kind of talked about newspapers for the moment, but TV is another interesting aspect of the ownership puzzle in Australia too, because you've got the other major media player, Carrie Packer, owning the kind of major free-to-air station, as well as having a major shareholder in the cable carrying company Foxtel, of which News Limited has another major share, and the Australian government, funnily enough, currently owns the major share of still, as Telstra's undergoing a privatisation. So there's this strangely unique position that Australia is in, where the actual government is in a business partnership with both Rupert Murdoch and this other major media player, Kerry Packer, who, if you're not in Australia, you may not be familiar with, but he could be summed up kind of with a story I heard once about him having some Texas oil millionaire carrying on about, well, you know, the houses he owns and the islands and the yachts here and the this and the that, and Kerry Packer just looks at him and says, "I'll flip you for it." That's the kind of bloke he is, the way he plays. I remember reading stories about his son who became a Scientologist. He used to come home from school and his dad would bowl cricket balls at him, which are kind of the hardness of baseballs, kind of at a full toss, which means it doesn't bounce. So it's, you know, if you don't hit it, it's going to hit you. He's that kind of player. But in terms of a monopoly, well, I guess there are laws that prevent that happening, but at best I'd say it's a duopoly, you know, or kind of like a functional monopoly, you know, they may as well have, although in the details you find it's not exactly. Did I talk about alternatives? I don't know. Maybe I did and then I erased that bit. Anyway, in Melbourne, the major paper is The Age, which is a good, a fair antidote to the kind of Fox Murdoch fair and balanced style journalism. However, I think a couple of Mulby Bluesham's posts have talked about the kind of creep of that style of journalism and being kind of forced into it, kind of like similar in a way to what I think you're seeing with CNN. They're kind of being pushed by market share into performing that kind of journalism, let's say, which brings me back to another point that Springer made about how liberal media has such a hard time. I think that's got a lot to do with staying on target. I think you see a lot of the right-wing talk show hosts will really target and attack and stay on a focused thing, whereas, say, the more liberal media will focus on a broad range, and you'll not see a lot of really striking hit points, I guess you'd say, in people's kind of psyches. But anyway, I think I've been rambling a bit now. How long have I been speaking? But anyway, to answer some of your questions, Springer, there are good alternatives. Also, in television, there's the ABC, which is a wholly government-owned TV station, and that may sound strange, you know, a government-owned station actually, you know, being good, but they do have some really good journalism on there. However, they are hamstrung by budgeting constraints, and there's also SBS, which caters to multicultural audiences. It has TV that shows movies from all around the world with subtitles, and has some really good comprehensive media coverage. It also has radio stations which are broadcasting multilingually, which I think originally the reason that SBS or the radio stations initially came into being was as a result of community radio in Melbourne at the time anyway, who were, this being in the 70s in Australia, which was a kind of heated political time. If you have a look at the things about the Whitlam dismissals, and there was a lot of trade union activity going on. The kind of powers that be were a bit concerned that people on these community radio stations who were broadcasting in their own languages were, you know, perhaps fomenting terrorism, etc., etc. So they decided to set up their own, where they could have, you know, cater to a broad range and also cater tailored information. So, in short, I've just got to say it's all good. I'm really glad that people listened to the podcast and enjoyed it. Thanks, everyone. I hope I've shed some light on it and just haven't rambled on. But anyway, have a good time wherever you are. See ya. Thank you.